Psalm 46, we will be reading the entire psalm before we hear God's word. However, let's go to him in prayer. Please pray with me. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your holy word. We pray that by your Spirit that we would receive this word with faith and love, that we would lay it up in our hearts and practice it in our lives to the praise of your glorious grace in Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. This is Psalm 46. Beloved, this is God's holy word. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is God's holy word. Now, this is a psalm that one would either sing in the midst of deep trouble or after the result of a particular victory that God had accomplished to save his people. It begins with a general statement about God, stating that he is our refuge and our strength. This is who God is at all times for us. This is who God is at all times for his people, his children. It is into his high tower that we can flee at all times and find refuge, find safety from trouble. It is as we run into the open, loving arms of our Father that we find refuge and security when all hope for protection seems lost. It is under the shadow of his wings that we find peace and strength when our own strength has left us. And when we are tormented in our soul by the distresses and the pains of life or the advancement of our enemies against us, we can flee to him and find safety and refuge. However, we can flee to God as our refuge at all times because we know what he has done for us in the past. And we know the victories that he has given his people in the past. The people of Jacob, this is who we are. God has given his people victories in the past in their ongoing battles against the pagan nations of the world. We see this revealed to us in the pages of Holy Scripture. One such victory, which might have occasioned the writing of this psalm, is the victory that God gave Israel over the Assyrians, which is recorded in 2 Kings chapter 19. There, the Assyrians had come against Judah, and they had taken several cities, and they were planning to take Jerusalem. But the angel of the Lord struck down 185,000 Assyrians in one night. And that morning, the king of Assyria woke up, and he saw his defeat, and he went home. It is because of victories like these that God's people could sing, God is our refuge and our strength. They could sing that God is our refuge and our strength in the midst of suffering, in the midst of trials and attacks from the enemy, because he has been faithful across generations. The psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Now, this statement by the psalmist shows us where we find our comfort in times of weakness and safety in times of trouble. Now, around the time that the psalm was written, Israel was continually the object of the world's hatred. We've already saw an event like this recorded in 2 Kings. The powerful nations that surrounded Israel and Jerusalem, they persistently harassed God's people. They raged against them and against his anointed one. Now, this constant harassment was often the source of distress and trouble for the saints of old. With what looked to be like impending doom at the hands of their enemies, who had armies much larger than theirs, much stronger than theirs, where were they to turn for safety? Where were they to flee for refuge? They were specifically told not to turn to the pagan nations of the world. They were not to turn for strength and power to the strength and power found in other nations like Egypt. They were not to seek refuge with Egypt, thinking that Egypt's powers could protect them. And this was always the temptation for Israel, to seek after, to seek refuge in the nations of the world. Now, the idea behind a refuge or a place of safety is that there is an impending doom. One seeks shelter from a storm. One seeks shelter from rain and hail because the hail and the rain poses a threat to the safety of the person. And so he is in need of something to place, he's in need of something to place between him and the coming threat. And so he seeks refuge under some type of fortified shelter. Or he will seek refuge or safety from the onslaught of an approaching army on the ground. Where will he go to find safety? He will climb up to a high fortified tower where the soldiers cannot reach or penetrate. This is the idea behind refuge. Now, just because oncoming doom for someone or for a people doesn't necessarily mean that the one threatened seeks refuge in the right things, right? We see this very clearly in Isaiah 28. God says to his people, he's rebuking them. He's saying, destruction is coming upon you. They would be disciplined very soon. He says, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with Sheol, because we have made an agreement. When the overwhelming whip passes through, it will not come to us. This is what the people of God were saying in the midst of their trials. We have made an agreement with death and Sheol, and therefore we will not experience this judgment. We will not experience this desolation. God says this through Isaiah. He says, for we have made lies our refuge, and in falsehood we have taken shelter. You see there that the people were afraid of the doom coming on them. What had happened? They thought they were safe because they had made lies their refuge. They had made falsehood their shelter. They had trusted in the wrong thing. And so just because doom is coming upon us doesn't always mean that we seek refuge in the right things. Rather, we are to seek refuge and strength in God alone. God is always with us to help us. He is described here as a very present help in times of trouble. For those who have become children of God through faith in Christ, God is our Father and is always with us. He had been present with his people throughout all of our history to help her. Indeed, God is present at all times, everywhere. He fills all of heaven and earth. The whole earth is full of his glory. So he is present at all times, everywhere. But for us, his people, he is present in a special way. He's present to help us, especially in our times of trouble, especially in our times of distress. He's there immediately, strength to give us refuge. He's an ever-present help in times of trouble, so that when we are in trouble and we call upon him, he's there. He's immediately present, ready to grant us grace. And therefore, we will not fear, the psalmist says, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Knowing that God is with us to help us, that he is our refuge, means that we do not have to be afraid. Even when it seems like the whole world is collapsing around us, we do not have to be afraid. The picture the psalmist gives us here is that of creation, all of creation being turned upside down. The mountains, which in the beginning were formed out of the waters, they now return to the sea. They sink down deep into the very heart of it so that the foams of the sea swallow up the mountains. The sea roars and foams as it does this, and the mountains tremble and shake as the sea rages against them. In the book of Revelation, evil kingdoms arise out of the depths of the dark and mysterious sea. And elsewhere in Scripture, the mountains are described as the foundations of the earth. And so the waves of the sea are rocking the very foundations of the earth. And here in this psalm, we see the psalmist singing about the fact that the nations rage, they're in an uproar. Kingdoms of the earth totter and shake, because they are being brought to an end. You see, the whole world is being turned upside down. But all the while this is going on, in stark contrast, the psalmist describes a very different situation for those who are part of the city of God. He says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. The streams of this river are set in comparison to the sea that brings down the mountains, the sea that rages and foams and roars, and it brings down the mountains. While on the other side, from the humble channels of this river that flows gently through the city of God, God's people are made glad. They're gladdened. They're able to have joy in the midst of their trials. Isaiah at one time spoke of the channels of Siloam, which ran through Jerusalem. Those channels of Siloam were as waters that flowed gently. The people who belong to the Lord do not find refuge in earthly might or power. This is represented by the raging sea. This would be the temptation to look to the sea and those nations that were coming out of them to find refuge and strength. We don't find our comfort in these things. Rather, we find comfort in what the world thinks is foolish. Our gladness comes from the Spirit of God and through believing in His promises given to us in His Word. This is where our peace comes from. This is where our stability comes from. Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And he was talking about His Spirit who has been given to all those who believe in Christ. This is what it means, as it says here in verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God has given us His Spirit. He has given us His Spirit, and so that God is in the midst of us, we shall never be moved. The church shall never be moved. Now, it was foolishness in the eyes of the world to stay in Jerusalem when these attacks were coming on Jerusalem, on the people of God from the outside nations. It was foolish to think that one could stay in Jerusalem and trust in the Lord. But Jerusalem is where God dwelt by His Spirit. God was in the midst of His people. And friends, now He dwells in all believers by His Spirit so that we can never be moved. The mountains fall, the earth will dissolve under the feet of our enemies when the Lord utters His voice, but the church always remains. The church can never be shaken. Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." This is so because God has built the church upon the rock which is Jesus Christ. She will never be moved. God is in the midst of us. God prevails against all of our enemies by His Spirit, no matter what kinds come against us. The Most High God has made His holy habitation within us by His Spirit. And therefore, when the world is turned upside down and the very foundations are destroyed, we will not be afraid. We do not have to be afraid. Our strength and security comes to us not by way of the things of the world. Where do those people turn who see the foundations coming down? When they look around, they see mountains being thrown into the sea. Where do they turn for refuge and strength? They turn to those very things that are being turned upside down. Many will seek to find refuge in the world and they won't find it, but we find refuge in God. We find refuge in the comforting waters of His Spirit that comes to us by humble means, through God's Word and through prayer. This is where we find strength. This is where we find refuge. It is here with God's people, under His Word. It is in prayer with one another that we find security. Now here we are drawn as well to the divine certainty of the presence of this river. Notice how this river seems to be just as sure and certain a source of joy as God is as sure and certain to be a place of safety. The river is depicted here as perpetually supplying life and joy to the city of God. And this is happening because God dwells in this city. He is tabernacling in this place, and thus it is a holy place. While the earth and the nations and the waters of the raging sea boil and foam and growl, the city of God is at peace. She is glad. She is protected from the storms. Jesus told the church that He and the Father would come and He would make their home in them. The Father and the Son would come to the church and make their home with them. This, friends, this is what God has done by His Spirit. This refuge, this joy is offered to all who believe in Christ. "Come to me, and I will give you rest for your souls," Jesus said. This is the state of affairs for the church. There is a river. whose channels give to her joy, gladden her at all times. Jesus says, whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this is something, friends, that is not something that comes and goes. It is something that is certain and true. It is a statement of fact for all believers, all of the church. The Spirit has made his home within us. We have become a holy habitation of God Most High. God's promises make us glad. We who believe in Christ are citizens of a heavenly city. We are citizens of the city of God, a city that cannot be shaken. We put our trust down from heaven to establish this city by his blood. Now, the psalmist sings here of the timing of God's help in verse 5. He says, God will help her when morning dawns. Now, as the first rays of sunlight begin to shine on the city of God, she will see how God has helped her. Now, this happened when the Israelites woke that morning that the Lord struck down 185,000 of their enemies the night before. The Israelites awoke to a certain and sure victory by God. Now, friends, we often go through the night of suffering and grief, but God's word tells us that his mercies are new every morning. Every morning, he helps us when morning dawns. That is, he helps us quickly. As sure and as certain as the sun is to come on every morning, as quickly as it comes, even though the night may seem long, God helps us. He helps us when morning dawns. Sometimes his help does not come in the timing that we desire, but when it does come, it is always more than we deserve. The nations raged against the Lord and against his anointed when the Jews and the Romans conspired together to crucify the Lord of glory. But when the first rays of light hit that third day morning, it was apparent that the Lord had helped his people by raising his son from the dead. Christ came forth from the dead with the keys of death and hell in his hand, and he now lives forevermore. This was and is our Savior, friends. God has helped his bride that morning when Christ was raised from the dead. When Jesus, our Savior's tomb, was empty, he has helped us. God helps us when morning dawns. And friends, he will help us every morning that we wake without our loved ones. He helps us. Every morning we face those certain disabilities that hinder us, he helps us when morning dawns. Every morning that we face those certain sins or the sins of our neighbor, he helps us when morning dawns. As we face a new day with trials of various kinds, with every type of affliction and grief that comes upon us, he will help us through the channels of grace in his word. He helps us. He helps us through his word. He helps us through these channels of grace that tells us that he is Lord, that he is God. He's a very present help in time of trouble. He helps us when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. Now this verse gives us here another kind of statement of fact. The psalmist is describing for us the way in which things are. Right? First, he said it is a statement of fact that God is a refuge for us. He is a refuge for his people. And secondly, it is true that there is a gladdening river in the midst of his people. Now we see that it is also true that nations rage. Nations rage and kingdoms totter. Now this has been the case of the kingdoms and the kingdom of Israel on earth, and it's still the case now. Kingdoms and nations murmur and boil against each other and against the church, and will always be this way until Christ comes again. Kingdoms that stood for centuries fall in a generation, and the Lord's response to all of this murmuring and raging is that he speaks. He speaks in response to them, and the earth melts. It dissolves away. What seemed to be a sure foundation has now turned to liquid. The earth has turned to liquid because of the voice of the Lord. Now this line shows us the mighty destructive power of the voice of God. The voice of God that brought everything into existence. God brought everything into existence by his word, and he is able to destroy it with one breath. One breath, he can bring the entire earth into the state of liquid. It dissolves away. This is how powerful his word is. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And yet all the while, the one who opens his mouth to speak and melt the earth is the one who is on the side of his people. He is with us. He is our Lord. He is the Lord and the commander of the angelic armies. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the Lord of the heavenly hosts. And he is the God of Jacob. He is the covenant-keeping God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is faithful to all his promises. And so God's people will not be moved. It is a statement of fact that God is our refuge and our strength, and that there is a river within us gladdening us, and that the nations will always teeter, they will always totter, and they will always murmur against God and against one another. But the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And so, friends, we will not be moved. We can never be moved. He dwells among his people and he dwells among us. Now think of how Jesus' birth is referred to in the Gospels. He was to be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. The birth of Jesus Christ then truly fulfills what this line of the psalm is speaking of. Jesus Christ coming in the flesh meant that the Lord of hosts has come to dwell with his people, to be with his people, to dwell among them, to permanently be with them forever. Think too of how Jesus declared that the heavenly hosts, the armies of heaven, were at his beck and call. He is the Lord of hosts. He could appeal to his Father, and at once 12 legions of angels would appear and do his bidding. Christ is the Lord of hosts, and he is with us. He has taken on human flesh to be with us. And so we think of these statements of reality for God's people, these statements of reality that never change. God is a refuge for us. The nations rage, but the Lord of hosts is with us. We can never be moved. Now there is a pause here in the psalm, and it's natural for a pause to be here because the psalmist has given us now four statements about reality for God's people and for the world. God is our refuge. There is an ever-present river that gladdens the people of God, secondly. Thirdly, the nations rage and kingdoms totter. And fourthly, the Lord of hosts is with us. And now in verse 8, he turns to the listening audience. He turns to the audience and he invites them to do something. Look at this. He says, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire." So the psalmist now invites his hearers to consider all of the Lord's works. Come, behold the works of the Lord. Now these works are all that the Lord does in the world by his wise and holy providence. He alone directs and governs all the events of history. He does all of this for his own glory, life, death, war, peace are all under his control. Think of the certainty that comes through with Jesus' words that he gave during his ministry. He says, "There will be wars and rumors of wars. Nations will rise against nation." How can Jesus speak with such authority on this subject? How can he speak with such certainty in regard to what would happen in the future between the nations of the world, is because he upholds them by the word of his power. He is the Lord of history. He governs all events in history. He governs all leaders of nations in history, and he directs them towards his desired ends. These wars will bring desolations on the earth that Jesus spoke of. They would bring desolations on the earth, but he also makes wars cease. He does whatever he pleases in all of heaven and earth. He removes kings and sets them up. He gives and he takes away. The kingdoms of the world set themselves up as God. They think that they can use their military power to subdue the world. But the psalmist shows us in this song that the Lord easily renders them impotent. Battle bow. He cuts off the spear, making the ability of the spear to harm completely nullified. The chariot in the days of old, the chariot in ancient Israel was like a modern-day tank. But the Lord burns this tank, this old tank, with fire. The Lord burns the chariot with fire. He easily decimates the powers of the world. The weapons that these roaring kingdoms sought refuge in are found to be completely stripped of their power because the Lord causes wars to cease according to his will. He does this easily and freely, according to his will. And so the psalmist invites his hearers to come, behold the works of the Lord. Look at what the Lord does in all of history, in all of the world. Look at what he does. This is the works of his hands, the works of his power. This then, friends, it's essentially a call to worship. The psalmist invites the hearers, even the nations, whoever may be listening, to truly consider God's awesome power at freely and easily bringing whole kingdoms to their knees. He asks the hearer to look at the horror, to look at the desolation among the mighty nations, and then he specifically describes that horror. He brings whole kingdoms to their knees. And what is to be the response on the part of the worshipers as they truly consider the power of God? How are they to respond? Well, God shows us here, and the psalmist tells us here, as we hear the voice of the Lord, he says, be still and know that I am God. Now the Lord's voice appears in the song. The inspired psalmist had been speaking about God throughout the first part of this psalm. He then invites all who hear to consider the works of the Lord, and now God speaks directly to the worshipers. The whole world acts impulsively, thinking themselves to be as God, but God will teach them that He alone is Lord. He causes wars to cease by the power of His word. He says to them, be still. He causes them to cease. Just like Jesus stilled the waves of the storm that was raging against the boat, be still. Desist from your warring. God causes them to know that He alone is God. But He also speaks to His people. He also speaks to his people when his works of providence are revealed, when the mountains are thrown into the heart of the sea. He says to the church, be still, and know that I am God. Now, friends, when we go through trials of various kinds, when it seems like the world is being upside down, is being turned upside down in our lives, we need a place of refuge, and we shed tears. When God says to us, be still in the midst of those times, it doesn't mean that we are free from pain. We shed tears, especially since we live in the midst of raging nations and tottering kingdoms. People die. Our hopes are dashed. We grieve because of our sins. We grieve because of others' sins. But there can be, friends, there can be a stillness in our hearts. There can be a stillness in our hearts that can only come from the Lord. We know that He is God and that through our suffering He is conforming us into the image of Jesus Christ. In the fourth psalm, we are given a similar command. God says, ponder in your own hearts on your bed and be silent. Put your trust in the Lord. And so we are called to be still. This is to be our response. In the midst of all of this murmuring, all of these trials, all of this desolation, God calls us to be still. But as we think of all these horrors that come upon the earth, as we think of all the desolations that come upon the earth and all the trials that we face, all the horrors that the Lord brings about in all the earth, there is no greater horror than when the Lord comes in judgment to punish sin at the end of the age. That is the greatest horror that will ever come upon mankind. All of this language about the earth melting and kingdoms being overthrown points us to the return of Christ and the final destruction of the world. It is then that all people will come to know one way or the other that He alone is God. That will happen. But for those who have believed in Christ and have been made part of the city of God, in which the softly flowing channels of the Holy Spirit gladdens our hearts and gives us resurrection life from the Son. For you in the city of God, the Lord invites you to consider His greatest work. Consider His greatest work, the desolation of His Son upon the cross. It is there, friends, that the weapons of warfare of the world are rendered completely impotent, completely useless. Even the powerful Roman army, represented by the soldiers who were there that day when Jesus was crucified, they themselves had to reckon with the fact that this Christ who hung on the tree was and is God. One of them saw the earthquakes that were taking place, and the sky had turned to blackness. He saw all of these things. He saw Jesus be crucified, and one of them proclaimed, surely this was the Son of God. And beloved, the gospel summons you to consider the cross, to look to the cross. Come, behold the works of the Lord. Behold the greatest work that the Lord has done. Behold the cross. The gospel summons you to do this, to consider the cross and see there that our justification has been secured. The desolation that should have come upon you came upon the Son. And therefore, friends, there is no other safe place from the judgment of God than Christ crucified for you. This is what this psalm is beckoning the church to find refuge in. Seek refuge in God. Seek refuge in Christ. Flee to Him. Put Christ in between you and the coming storm. Christ says to you, friends, this evening to consider the cross. He beckons you this evening to consider the cross and to consider your sins and consider the sovereign power He has over the nations and kings. And He says, look at those things. Look at My cross. And He says to you, be still. Be still and know that I am God. I am your refuge. I am your fortress. Look to My cross. Your sins are forever forgiven. Christ says to the church through this psalm, flee to Me for safety. Come to Me, all who are heavy burdened. Come to Me, and I will give you rest for your souls. To Christ be all praise and glory, now and forevermore.